Nerdy is the new sexy. It's good to be a geek. This is Bud's Weekly Geek Out.
In a one, in a two, in a
you know what to do.
Bud, it's Bud, it's Bud, yeah.
Whoop. Hi, everybody.
Hey. Welcome. What do you want to geek out about this week?
What do you want to geek out about? I'm sure you've noticed I'm a paranoid. Right? I keep on top of cybersecurity news for things like this show, but also my personal interest in protection and paranoia.
But I come to you. I trust you in that way. But I got this email. Should I delete it? Should I click on this?
Cheers. Yeah. Always happy to look at those things.
How many factors of authentication do I need, bud?
Right.
I come to you for that.
At least two. So there's something in security circles called the CVE program. This is an initialism for Common Vulnerabilities and Exposures. This is a broad database of every publicly disclosed vulnerability found in phones or computers, servers, software, industrial, anything hackable, really. And they're always given a CVE number and a score from 0 to 10. 0 being the least concerning and 10 being, So we're talking about CVE 2024-3094, as in 2024, it's the 3,094th vulnerability found and reported so far this year, which is a terrifying statistic. Anyway, my ears perked right up when I heard about this CVE score because it was 10.0.
Whoa.
And the top score is a rarity. Basically, 10.0 means it is of the utmost importance to fix, patch, address. 10.0 is bad news for whatever system is impacted. The good news is that for many zoners, this shouldn't be an issue because it affects the Linux operating system that I touched on last week.
What is that? Some kind of a kitty cat? Some sort of big jungle cat?
No. I think Windows, Mac, Linux. It's just another operating system.
Meow.
So let's think of something ubiquitous on a given device. Maybe the Notes app on your phone, the contacts on your Android device, Finder on a Mac, Control Panel on a Mac. Something you use every day. Something almost invisible. There's something like that on Linux called xzutils. It compresses and decompresses data during all kinds of operations. It's just a cog in the machine. Now, imagine if somebody was able to use one of these cogs to take over your phone or computer. CVE 2024-3094, some folks are calling it XZ Outbreak. God, these letters, I don't know which is harder to say. This is a backdoor, which would allow an attacker with a predetermined encryption key to gain access to a system over the SSH protocol. SSH, hilariously, stands for Secure Shell. The attacker would then have the same amount of control over your machine as any authorized user. So they could do whatever they want to your machine as you.
Okay, so you keep on saying would and could, like it hasn't happened.
That's the craziest part of this story. Last Friday, a lone Microsoft developer named Andres Freund discovered and reported this vulnerability before it had a chance to launch. Thank you, Andres. It was amazingly a complete fluke. He was troubleshooting some performance issues on a Linux distribution because the SSH logins were using too much computer memory. Tiny issue, but sometimes when you're a geek, you just can't let it go. So he drilled down and he discovered that the memory issues were due to an update that had been made to xzutils, updates that included this backdoor, again, on a piece of software used by most all Linux users.
Wow. Okay, so who did this to me?
Not you. Just who did this. xzutils is an open source program. Heck, Linux is an open source operating system. So this means it's generally free and its base code is out there for anyone to see or study or suggest changes to. Improvements and security patches are applied all the time to open source software. Well, way back in 2021, a user named GiaT75 signed up to GitHub, which is pretty much the code repository. It's pretty geeky, but over the span of years, this user uploaded various files, made small changes, which, when chained together, would be this exploit. And if it wasn't so terrible, I would call it brilliant. The main file behind this wasn't malicious unto itself, but it calls another file left in a test directory, which also isn't malicious unto itself, but then uses a substitution cipher to change parts of its code, then decrypt and decompress the data, which was malicious.
Ah! But you're saying it never had a chance to get used to do bad things or like take over someone's computer?
Yeah. It looks like right now, this stage, we're still part of the long con of this backdoor being built and distributed, but it wasn't distributed enough for the bad guys to press the go button. It's only on Linux proper right now, and the evildoers behind it were trying to get it onto Red Hat and Debian, which are two popular operating systems built off of the Linux kernel. So if they had succeeded in doing that, they would have had a whole lot more machines in Linux's 30 million user base. So this exploit was seemingly years in the making, possibly weeks away from execution, when it was discovered by accident. Great quote from software and cryptography engineer Filippo Valsorda. This might have been the best executed supply chain attack we've seen described in the open, and it's a nightmare scenario.
Wow. Okay, so this, again, very specific to Linux. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then what is the lesson for everybody else? Yeah. Or follow up, why in God's name are we talking about this?
Okay, this could have been disastrous, not just for Linux users, because Linux is used on over 96% of the world's web servers. So a coordinated attack could have taken down a lot of the internet. And a lesson for us is, since we don't admin web servers, unless maybe you do, but just please keep on top of your updates. Update the software on your phone or computer regularly. Oh. Many OSs do this automatically, but you can usually find it in settings by manually searching for the word update. And if there's something strange in your neighborhood, yeah. Or your phone or your computer, it may be nothing, but check with a geek to see if it's any cause for concern. You may not discover that SSH logins using too many CPU cycles are due to a malicious backdoor in a data compression program.
No, I wouldn't.
But you might.
Oh.
So you can get all the geeky details about this averted disaster, which was the XZ outbreak, at thezone.fm/geekout.
I like to say at this point in this geek out, I don't own a computer, and I don't think I would like to.
Yeah, I threw mine into the ocean. Yeah.
Perfect, perfect, you guys, great.
Thanks, Bud.
Bye.
Bud's Weekly Geek Out. Sometimes you know it's good to be a geek. Listen every Wednesday on The Morning Zone for more news from the world of techie type stuff.